I'd like to commence or begin with a familiar greeting that I'd like to say prior before speaking about the Lord's truth, and that is to give all honor, praise, and thanks to God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has saw fit again, that once again this day I may stand before his little flock and by his spirits impart some of his truth that are found in his gospel. For truly he has turned the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and as the scripture records, the just shall live by faith. Amen. You know, when I listened to the prayers requested and the manner of subject matter that we are requesting prayer for in this horrific tragedy that we have faced recently, and it's kind of put me in mind of that we need to be encouraging one another at all times, because one thing we understand as children of faith, we are just as that's why I requested the song Victory in Jesus, because that's is where our victory is at. It's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I always encourage to come amongst God's people that understand, the primitive Baptist that understand that we are procured in Christ and that we are saved by nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the world will continue to tell us that one minute you say you're saved by faith, and the next minute you say you're saved by blood, and the next minute you say you're saved by works. Which is it? Well, we saved by nothing but the blood of Jesus. But in the courtroom of our heart and mind, our faith, we are saved from because of our belief and our faith in the blood of Jesus. And in the courtroom of man's opinion, we produce works. So with that said, you know, this is what with the subject matter, those that have their Bibles handy, I want to try to speak on some things that Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter. And really it gets down to in some of his final encouragement to the church. And this is what it's called about being strong in the Lord. See, because we're so surrounded and we're so amassed and encompassed by so much wickedness and evil and tribulations and trials and things that could easily discourage us. And we need to be very mindful that we get our strength from Jesus Christ. He said he's the author and finisher of our faith. And thus, in one part of the scripture, he says, how can you how can you take over a man's house, a strong man's house, unless you first bind it? And a good thing I take from being an old Baptist and understanding old Baptists and loving the truth and the doctrines of grace and understanding that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world is that we understand that you cannot bind us with legalism. That we understand we are not under a work system, but we are saved by grace, as the scripture says, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. So when we come to sing the post-Christian songs, if you will, the post-salvation songs, we're singing to give God his honor, praise, and due diligence because he has saved us eternally. But it's a practical usage. That's why I decided to go to this part of scripture and talk about some practicalities or how to be practical in our understanding of being saved by grace. And that is how we to be strong in the Lord. And Paul starts out, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, when one part of the scripture said, when knowledge enter into thy heart and wisdom is pleasant to thy soul, discretion will keep thee, understanding will preserve thee, in the second chapter of the Proverbs. Well, when we understand the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we understand, as we say, as Romans 8 and 28 and 29 speaks about God's foreknowledge and his predestination to be conformed to the image of Christ and the effectual calling and the new birth, when we understand about justification, as I spoke about being justified by the blood of Jesus, being justified in the courtroom of our heart and mind by the faith in the blood of Jesus, and being justified again by the works that we produce, because we are ordained, we are saved, ordained unto good works. When we understand these things, this is builds of strength. This is when we abide in Jesus Christ. The scripture said we can do all things in Christ who strengthen us, but without him, we can do nothing. So may we be ever mindful that all our strength, all our comings, all our goings is found in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When I thought about that standing, I think about as me being an old Baptist for roughly like 20 years, and I start seeing, as I requested earlier, about the church waning and the membership getting low. But in order to stand and to be strong in the Lord, you have to be persistent and consistently following and making the proper sacrifice in obedience and presenting ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice that's spoken of in the 12th chapter of the Romans letter. So when we stand, when I come, like I say, in 20 years, I've seen members come and go. And I've seen people that, as the disciples followed Jesus, as long as he was doing the physical miracles, but when the trials and temptations began to increase, the disciples waned. And thus we see that when we stand, we're going to have to stand because we have a warfare, and we're fighting a spiritual warfare, and it's between the flesh and the spirit. For the scripture says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so when you come, and when I see the old Baptist, that's one another reason. I'm just ecstatic sometimes, and I love y'all, and I'm grateful for y'all graciousness to invite me back. Is that y'all standing? Again, when I come, we are not playing church. We are coming to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, to give him his due diligence, to lift up the name and praises of Jesus. This is how we stand, because we stand through knowledge. We stand because, but furthermore, as I go further into the scripture, may you see that the Lord is telling us how to stand, but he gives us weapons to fight this warfare that which we see just amassing us. And he goes on to say, he said, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, as spoken of in Genesis, it said that the serpent was the most subtle beast in the field. And spoken of in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the dragon. And when we see it, and then in parts of the scripture say he's a roaring lion going to and fro. And he speaks of him as the prince of the power. We talk about Satan. We talk about the carnal man has no defense against this crafty beast called the devil. And so thus, we, in order for us to stand, in order for us to be strong, we would have to do things in Christ Jesus. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let this mind that is in Christ be in you. So we have to pray, read, and study, and meditate in the Word of God, and we have to get our directives and our understanding straight from Jesus Christ, because as the scripture says, he has bruised his head. Jesus has squashed his head on the cross of Calvary, but Satan is still in his low ground of sin and sorrow, causing all kinds of destruction and division, if you will. That's what he do, because he's a defeated foe. So if we understand, and because we must understand that our weapon, our fight is not carnal. That the Bible speaks of two manner of people in the scriptures. It speaks of those that are perishing, that do not understand the gospel or do not believe in the gospel. It speaks of we who believe. We believe in the power of God, and by faith we trust in this power. Thus, we find ourselves in fighting this warfare. We must, and the scriptures insist, if we have any victory in Jesus, as we say, then it's in Jesus Christ. It's all about nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we go to Jesus for everything, and he goes on and says, for we rest not against flesh and blood, and against principalities and powers. I used to think again. That I used to be offended when people say that I was naive. And I said, well, I'm not naive, you know. And people to this day, you'll find out, if you tell them they're naive, they'll take it wrong. We like to think that we're in control. We like to think that we have more power, more authority, more, a directive of our lives. We like to think that we are the authors and the finisher of our life. But when we find out that there's powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places that we know not. But the Lord knows, because the Lord searches the hearts and the reins. The Lord is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, almighty. This is where we find our trust in the Lord. If you find out the Lord is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, when you see the L-O-R-D in the Old Testament, it's because our Lord is a hands-on God. He's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. So this is where we get our knowledge from. This is where we're able to stand, because we rest in the Lord. And he goes on, he said, for we rest not against flesh and blood. When I think of that rest, I can't help but think about wrestling, you know, and then WWE and all these different entertainments that come to us. Do you know, if you ever thought about the vanity of it, how it's always the biggest, the baddest, the boldest, the beautiful, always cycling, recycling itself, back around till someone dies off, and then it come back. You got to be the biggest, the baddest, the boldest, and the beautiful, and all the brashest. Whatever it takes, this is what, this is the type of wrestling that, that the carnal can do. That's all it can do. The carnal can do nothing but recycle the vanity that comes with it. As the scripture said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, and vexation of spirit. But when we think about, when we, he said that in the carnal, how much more that we are helpless and hapless, if you will, to wrestling against flesh and blood. He says, but we wrest against principalities and power. You know, when I think about these spiritual wickedness in high places, I think about the three high places as the scripture speaks about, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. But there's three high places that we must be very mindful of, saint, and that is that Satan, that a three-pronged attack, he starts out with the mind. He attacks the mind. If he gets the mind, then he moves on to the family. And then he moves from the family to the church. These are three areas that the devil attacks. The mind, the spiritual wickedness in high places is the high places of the mind, the high places of the family, and high places of the church. So we got to be diligent in raising our family. We got to be diligent in the way we conduct ourselves and do everything decent and order in the church. And we got to be diligent in the way we raise our families. If you notice, this tragedy that we're seeing seem like every other week, every other month, another shooting, another killing, another reckless, heinous crimes that's being portrayed, seem like it's the norm now. Because may I submit to you that Satan is attacking the mind, the family, and the church, that he's insistent on breaking down. This is all he can do, you understand? Because one day we're going to be with the Lord in heaven and mortal glory. We are purchased. We are redeemed people. This is the songs that we sing, the hymns that we love to sing, is that we are redeemed. And he goes on and said, because we fight not against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. And then he goes on to tell you that not only he that the Lord understands that we fight not against flesh and blood, and that the devil, the flesh, and the world are just indomitable foes, that they are past the carnal man doing anything about. We have no power in our carnality. The flesh is weak. At one point in the scripture, in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says, so with the mind I serve Christ, but with the flesh I serve sin. You see, the flesh and the spirit is one against one toward the other. And I'm so grateful because it's the new birth, the inner man that cannot sin. God has given us something that we can fight these, but it's not carnal. Our weapon is not carnal. Our weapon is spiritual. And these spiritual wickedness, and this is why many are born of the spirit or led of the spirit. We must get all our directions, all our understanding from the book, from the word of God. May we get the leadership of the Holy Spirit. May we not just think, and not for an iota, not for a second, that the carnal man has any chance at fighting this formidable foe called the devil. But Jesus, praise God to Jesus, he have defeated him on the cross. He said on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He have worked the work of redemption. But we have a practical living to do, and to the honor and praise of God. And this is what the word of God gives. Again, the scripture said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God. You see, when people try to take the word of God and make children of God, try to take it out into a dying world, as they say. This book is for those that already been born of the Spirit. But we need to be praying and reading and studying and understanding these precious truths. This is a sword. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God that's powerful than any two-edged sword. But we have to be relying on the word of God. We can do nothing in the carnal. I can tell you, as Paul said, I know that's in me, that's in my flesh, dwelling no good thing. But he goes on and says, He says that, wherefore, take on the whole armor of God. And he's going to show us what the whole armor of God is. But I think of myself when putting on the armor of God. I can't think of times when I had the whole armor of God on. But I've always, as the scripture says, I bound his word about my neck, and his word is written in my heart, and the love for his people. But sometimes I find myself amiss and slacking in my prayer life. I find myself not understanding relying on my carnality too much, that I began to be defeated by the world. and the things around me. But he goes on, he said, when you do these things, this is what God is effective. This is what we are strong in Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, wherefore take you on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Can we all agree that we're living in some evil times? I mean, and this is the evil day. You know, even though Paul was talking to the Ephesians, and the scripture teaches us that there's nothing new under the sun. So I marvel at men thinking because of some modern technology or things that's abounding him or surrounding him, and it's in the creature comforts that he have, that for some reason that the conditions, the issues like lust, greed, you know, murder, envy, strife, like these have always permeated the earth since sin entered the world. By one man sin passed upon all men, so death passed upon all men. So may we understand that when he says that we are able to withstand in the evil day and haven't done all, he said, again, he goes on to say, stand. Saints, I say it again, when you consistently not forsake the assembling of yourselves, when you consistently, we know we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. When we consistently, as the sisters say, have a charitable heart and love for those outside the church, and consistently, the scripture said, to let our light shine, we're standing. We're standing. At the world, look at us as if we having some problem or we weak in one sense, but not really. It's because we have a great love for our Lord. Our Lord has permeated and radiated his light in us. He said he is the light. The L-I-G-H-T is the L-I-F-E of man. Jesus is our light. And this is where we get our strength from. And he says that you may stand having your loins girded with the truth. Again, when I was thinking about the, excuse me. When I was thinking about the loins, I don't know this for a fact, but I heard it to be that the loins, that this is one of the strongest muscles in our bodies. And if the loin, if it was removed, then either the top half would not be able to stand, nor would the bottom hand. So when we think about God is telling us to be stout in the truth, be stout in his truth, we ought to gird ourselves, we ought to carry this about by faith. We ought to stand with this truth that Jesus has redeemed us. The world is out there fighting us at every junction, trying to tell us that we have some work to do to get eternal life. But I submit to you, the scripture, again, does not show, and anyone can challenge, that Jesus offered himself to man. He didn't offer himself. He offered himself to God on behalf of man. The scripture says he had made him to be sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. You see, what this world is sitting out here telling us, we have to, giving us these prerequisites and all these, this litany of things we got to do to be saved eternally. I mean, again, Jesus, the truth, we are to gird ourselves with the truth that we are saved. This is why we can sing these happy songs and this is why we can live in it with a blessed assurance in this time continuum, because we are living in wicked times and wicked days, but we gird ourselves with the truth of Jesus Christ. We know the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that this is that there's only one gospel, only one Lord and Savior, only one Spirit, and only one baptism. So we and I submit to you again, I am so grateful to be amongst the Primitive Baptists that understand this. So we gird your loins, saints, with this truth. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to boast about. We don't have to boast, and we are meek and humble people. But we take on the yoke of Christ. He said, come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and I will give you rest. We have a rest because we have the truth. And this is where our strength is coming from. This is where, again, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. But he goes on. Now, this is just one part of this armor that he presents to us that we should be walking around daily with. And these are spiritual armor, by the way. He goes on and says, that they haven't done all, he says, stand. He says, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And this, again, the world is at with their breastplate. It's ostentatious. It's all show and lights and neon. That look at me, I'm proud, you know. I'm a Christian. And this is what getting them in a lot of trouble, in my estimation, because when it's time to speak about the Lord And to talk about a personal relationship, they don't speak about the God of the Bible. They you know, so often in my community, I run into people that, you know, just don't even want to, I don't even want to debate, but just discuss it, iron sharpened iron, and they will tell me, well, I had to get back with you. I had to talk to my preacher about such and such. And I'm thinking, what do you believe? Where's your breastplate? I mean, this is, the Satan is out there devouring, you know, going to and fro, seeking all he could devour. We need this breastplate individually. This is a personal breastplate. This is something we need to be wearing. This is something we can't get from our preacher. We can't get it from no one, but we can get it from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave us this in the new birth. We have all these weapons, and they can be just as faith is. You know, faith can lay it dormant. You know, again, James says, show me my works without the faith. I show you my faith by my works. Now, if we, faith produces a work, but it's a work to the glory of God. It points the finger. It can't point the finger back at man because it's spiritual. And if it came from God, then it would not return to God void. So may we understand, he said that we are to wear this breastplate. This breastplate of righteousness. And who righteousness is, by the way? It's Jesus Christ's righteousness. He is the holy, he's faithful, and he's righteous, and he's done all things well, and he's pleasing to God. So we are adorned in this armor. But may we understand that this armor is spiritual, and we're fighting a spiritual warfare because the flesh and the spirit war against one to the other. And as Paul said, I know this in my flesh dwelling no thing. So may we understand that the flesh is trying to go one way, but the Spirit of God goes up. And he goes on and says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is, again, that's why I say that's where our strength is. We got the gospel of peace. It said, at one point in the scripture it said, how beautiful are the feet of them that come preaching the gospel. In one scripture, in Matthew, Jesus told, and John, Jesus told some unbelieving Pharisees, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify me. Not they are the peoples in the scripture, but the scripture from the beginning, when they spoke, said, let us make man in our image, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is a testimony of Jesus Christ, old and new. This is completely about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why we rejoice. This is why we sing praises. We have an understanding as old Baptists. He said that we are to shout our peace with this gospel of peace. And that's what it brings to us, peace. He said, blessed is the peacemaker. You know, so when we see that we have a rest in Jesus Christ, we have a great peace that comes with not trying to work out our, as the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but he says it's for God who gives both the will and the want to do of his pleasure. So we see everything that strengthens us in Christ comes from God. So when we sit and come to God, and when we walk in his peace, the world is under a great attack because the world understands not this peace. As said in Peter, we are peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We are peculiar. When we speak about a peace, when we lay our heads down on our pillows, and when we go to our perspective abodes and understand that we have this peace that surpasses understanding. This is unexplanatory peace because if you look again, as we look all around us, it's just total chaos with man trying to exercise his own will and doing his own way. But we have a peace, and then we shout our peace. So we put on this armor. So when we're going on with from the breastplate of righteousness, and we shodden our feet with the peace of the gospel. So when we walk about to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, above all, taking on the shield of faith. And Jesus is said to be the author and finisher of our faith. He said, he called this a shield. Because he, again, like I say, in every aspect of my life, being an old Baptist, I run into confrontation from individuals wanting to understand things, but they always seem to be attacking the gospel for its simplicity. Attacking the, you know, we believe in grace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We believe that Jesus done all things well. We believe, and so how do we obtain this? How do we exercise this? We exercise it by faith. But see, in the ninefold fruits of the Spirit that talked about in the book of Galatians, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes by the Spirit. So may we understand that the faith is our shield. We don't have to be carried away by any doctrine, any wind of doctrine. We don't have to fall back into legalism, as he told the Galatians. We understand by faith, and so we walk by faith, not by sight. So this, the Bible calls it a shield. And may I submit to you, it is a shield to me, because the times when I wane, the times when I feel lacking, the times when I, you know, struggle to even come and speak to the church, this faith lifted me up and said, Jesus is worth it. Jesus it has done everything for us. And it says, and it gives me the energy, this faith in Christ, to as the Hebrew children did, walk in the fire. It gives us this faith is what keeps us standing, if you will, or keeps us coming and assembling ourselves and singing God's praise. It's to walk by faith, and it's a shield, because the reason it's a shield, again, if you notice, just about everybody outside the Old Baptist has a but on their salvation. You know, it's you do everything but, you know, so here come the work. I don't know how they do it, but like one guy said, if belief was, it would be, belief is a work. He said, because if I had to confess and with a small, still voice, I'm still doing some work because my vocals are moving, if you touch them, that belief is still part of a work system. If Jesus has done it all, and he goes on to say that, he says, and you'll charge your feet with preparation of gospel and peace. He says, above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, old Satan is out there, and he have a quiver. The same, I've been told he don't have but three or four tactics he's using, and they've been effective since he's the author of lies, the author of confusion, and he's a great divider. And he's still using them same tactics on God's children to this day. And he just keep throwing these fiery darts at us, trying to sow discord, trying to cause division, trying to cause doubt in our minds and our hearts that we should be somehow, you know, as the scoffer say, where is that God? The scoffer say that we should put God on some time limit, that we should, God is sovereign, and that we should be speaking, be beckoning him on to come quickly when God is sovereign. So we just have to stand, saints, and then God gives us his armor that we can stand against and quench his fiery darts of the wicked. And he said, takes on the helmet of salvation. Think about the helmet of salvation. That's where the mind's at. That's, again, why I say what Satan is under a great attack with the mind and the spiritual wickedness in high places, the mind, the family, and the church. We are to guard our minds, guard our hearts, to study the word and show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, when we put on this helmet of salvation, this again goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier is about salvation. You know, when you see the word saved in the Bible, over and over and over time, most of the time it's not talking about eternal salvation. You know, save yourself from this. You know, Peter was about to, felt like he was drowning when he walked on the water just a little bit, and his faith waned. He said, Lord, save me, save I fall, save I drown. So when you see the different times of saving, a woman can save herself through childbirth. The saving is speaking of a practical, timely dispensation. But the salvation that's under consideration, this is where we continue to stand and come back as Old Baptists. We understand this, that Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus have saved us eternally. That this sovereign Lord chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before he chose in Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And as the scripture says in Romans 8:29, all that he foreknew, now this is God. God had a nation, out of all nations, kindred, and tongue, all that he foreknew, them he predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And them that he predestinated, that is, he didn't predestinate us to sin. He didn't predestinate us to be a certain filthy people that when we produce our sinful ways, but he predetermined our outcome. In other words, heaven and mortal glory is ours, but it's not because of nothing we've done. We have no control over that. And all that he predestinated, and that means that he one day we will be all collectively and with him in heaven and mortal glory as heirs and joint heirs of all that God has. But at the same time, those that he predestinated, he called. And that means effectually. And this is an effectual calling. That's what the world is getting all bent out of shape about. Because it takes their work out of the system. It takes their work out of any man's system that he has put together, that Jesus called us effectual and that we could not resist it. It's irresistible. It's an irresistible calling. And all that he called, he justified. And that's on Calvary. And this is another thing that causes the world problem. They can't get the fact that the atonement was limited. It was limited on the cross. For all that the Father, as the scripture said to Mary, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Jesus had the people that chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is unpopular doctrine, but it's the gospel, a gospel of grace. But all that he justified, that means declared righteous in the courtroom of heaven and mortal glory. That means God accepted his blood and said it as well, and that Jesus paid our sin debt. And all that he justified, one day he will glorify. And that means that one day we will all be with him in heaven and glory. But this is a salvation that we wear as a helmet. Now, when we put this helmet down and try to battle this spiritual wickedness without these spiritual weaponry, may I submit to you, it's impossible. And we're going to be discouraged, and we're going to sometimes fall away, as I've seen men fall away from the old Baptist beliefs and fall after something that's immediate. They need immediate. See, God is we're not on God's time. God is not in the time. Like, we're not on God's time. You know, in other words, God, it's a notable date in his mind and purpose that he have set, and we have no clue. He told his disciples, no man know the day nor the hour. So we are to be waiting, praying, and anticipating, and living a life that's pleasing to God. But if we ain't wearing this armor, one day we'll find ourselves being discouraged. One day we'll find ourselves, you know, thinking to ourselves, you know, this salvation, is it what the scripture is telling me? Is it what I believed? But it's by faith. We hold this because we have that helmet of salvation. And I submit to church, I pray you never put that down. Because no matter what is said today or what is said after we leave this church, that it was nothing but the blood of Jesus that saved us eternally. And this salvation is procured in Jesus Christ. And as he said, no man can thwart him. As he said in the book of Malachi, he is the Lord thy God. And he changed not. So all you sons of Jacob are not consumed. My Lord do not change. He's the great I am. The same Lord in the Old Testament is effectually hands-on now. This is what we find ourselves when we don't wear these armors. This is what we find ourselves getting a little confused about and thinking that this New Testament God is a different God than the Old Testament God. But he's the same. He's the great I am. And he goes on and says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is where we pray, read, study, and meditate, the word of God. At one point, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we understand that word is Jesus Christ. But he has given us 66 books. He's given us a complete canon of the Old and New Testament that we can understand that we can wield this sword. This is an offensive weapon. That when we understand that, we understand the word as it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. When we understand this is the sword of the Spirit, this is the word that God has given us, this is the word that we rely on, and this is also puts an urgency and a necessity on us staying in the word, because this is our offensive weapon. This is where we learn more, this is where we grow in that strength. This is where we get our strength and we become strong in the Lord, as when wisdom enter into our heart and knowledge is pleasant to our soul, discretion will keep thee, understanding will preserve thee. When we grasp this knowledge and keep it in our hearts, when we walk in it, when we meditate in it, and when we be devoted to it. As I was telling one person, I never thought in my life that I would fall in love with the word. But it's possible that you can fall in love with God's word, because it's beautiful and it's all glorifying him. But his great love, he loved us when we was his enemy. You know, so how could you not love a God that loved a wretch like, when we sing Amazing Grace, to save a wretch like me? He said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he goes on, he said, praying always with all prayer. You see the necessity of praying and how important praying is. Prayer is one of these spiritual weapons that we use. We pray one for another. As we come up today, we should be praying for all the lists that we ask for, and praying to God that he will give us understanding, he will open up our eyes of understanding, that God would continue to give us this unity and this love one towards another, that we are praying that even for, as Jesus told his disciples, we pray for our enemies. And this has to be a spiritual thing, because I have trouble with that one, you know. But It have to be a spiritual. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Praying is a weapon because we're looking forward. We're looking forward to something. We are, as I said last time I was here, we are onward looking people. We are looking forward. We can't do nothing about the past. But we are looking forward. So when we're praying, we're praying with expectation. This is why we are strengthened in Jesus. This is why we're growing strong in the Lord. This is why the old Baptist remains a little remnant, even though you would think that they by now the small members that they would have been, you know, out of commission by now. But the Lord has a people that have not bowed down to Baal. And I'm a firm believer that the old Baptist has this truth and understand this truth. And he goes on to say, praying always with prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of God, of the gospel. You see, the gospel, as Jesus told his disciples, that when he talked in parable, it's for you to know, but some not. When we think about mysteries, we always think about, you know, the Agatha Christie mysteries and the movie-type mystery. But the mystery is something revealed to some and hidden from others. The secret things belong to God, you see. But he reveals his truths. And this is where we stand because we continue to come back to hear more and more. And then we put line upon line, precept on precept, and then we hear a little and there a little, and then we start piecing together what the Lord has actually done. What a great work he have done of salvation by grace. And so when we think about this thing, he uses his preachers to boldly proclaim his gospel. At one point he called it the foolishness of preaching, you know, but it's for the edification of the saints and the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edification of the body of Christ. That's what we're doing, trying to exhort one another, trying to encourage each other when we see all this turmoil around us, and it continue, is that we want to exhort the brethren. We want to lift up each other and let you know we are not in this alone because we are being strengthened in God because we persevere. We continue to desire to know more of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, in this lifetime, we'll never know. The queen said when she went to see Solomon, the half has not been told. And I'm convinced the half has not been told. We'll never know. But what little we know is we can rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, for which, this is Paul speaking, for which I am ambassador in the bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, and Titus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. You see, this is what the gospel doing, bringing comfort to you. Comfort you, my people. This is the good news, that Jesus has done all things, and that we have received doubly for our sin, that God has saved us and redeemed us. It's just beyond explanation with me sometimes. It's wonderful. It's the good news. It's the gospel. He said, whom I have sent unto you, the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, grace be to you all, with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. And then he goes on to say, amen. So may we understand, saints, that he said, this is what the preaching of, if anything become of the message that was pronounced today, is that Jesus has done all things well, but he didn't leave us in a state where we are by ourselves. He didn't just save us and walk away. He is the head of the church. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the lily of the valley. I mean, everything about the Lord. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our God, our Lord, and he loved us in spite of ourselves. So he's effectual. He sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So we have in him body, the whole body, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he didn't leave us comfortless. We have a Comforter. So we can be, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, know how to pray. We can continue to be encouraged and strengthened in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your kind attention.
Please stand while we sing number 96.